Hello and welcome to my podcast. My name is Avi Heller and together we are studying Masechet Megillah. This series is a project of the OU's Synagogue Services Department, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are in the second half of Megillah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, 3A. We are 11 lines from the bottom on 3A. There's two dots in the fourth wide line towards the beginning of the line, and we're starting right after those two dots. We're returning to the topic of reading the Megillah. And we were discussing, before we went on a tangent, a certain pasuk in the Megillah, which talks about Ahasuerus's decree going all over his empire. And it says in that pasuk, Medina umdina ve'ir va'ir, to each province and to each city. In addition to that, there is another modifier in there. A little bit later in the pasuk, it says mishpacha u'mishpacha. So now we're going to look into that. We begin fourth wide line, five words in. V'hashta d'amar medina u'mdina v'ir v'ir l'drasha. Since we already discussed in our previous podcasts why the pasuk repeats the word medina twice and why it repeats the word ir twice, mishpacha u'mishpacha l'may ata, what is the repetition of the word mishpacha u'mishpacha, family and family? Now, you might think that we would interpret it as families like husband, wife, and children, but that's not how the Gemara will interpret it. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said, Lehavi mishpachot kihuna uleviya. The mishpachot we are discussing here are the families of Kohanim and Leviim. Shemevatlin avodatan, who abolish their work in the Beit HaMikdash, ubayin lishmo mikra Megillah. In other words, they drop their work in the Beit HaMikdash to come hear the Megillah. In other words, they're saying that it's a question of priorities, and when two priorities clash, either doing the Avoda in the Beit HaMikdash or hearing the Megillah read, they would choose to come hear the Megillah, which is kind of a surprising and possibly even shocking sentiment. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, said Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, Kohanim ba'avodatan, Kohanim who are serving in the temple, u'leviim b'duchanan, and the Leviim who in this case are singing the Shir Shel Yom, v'Yisrael b'ma'amadan, and the Israelites who are helping out with the Karbanot. So what you have here is a rotation around the year where certain Kohanim, certain Leviim, and certain Yisraelim function for a short period of time in the Beit HaMikdash, and then they go home and they're rotated out by a new group. So whoever is currently serving, kulan mevatlin avodatan, all of them drop what they're doing in the Beit HaMikdash, ubayin lishmo mikra Megillah, and they come to hear the mikra Megillah. So that's what it means, mishpacha u'mishpacha, that the mishpacha of the Kohanim and the mishpacha of the Leviim, there isn't a third mishpacha to count for the Yisraelim, but we throw them in anyway. They all come to hear the Megillah over doing their work. Now, Tosfot has a question about this. He asks why they need to get rid of their work. After all, you can read the Megillah anytime during the day of Purim, so there's plenty of time for them to both do their Avoda and to hear their Megillah. So he seems to indicate that they want to do each of these things first thing in the morning. You're going to bring the Tamid Shel Shachar first thing in the morning, and they would want to read the Megillah first thing in the morning. So the question is, what would you do first? And he seems to think the answer would be you would read the Megillah first. So what you'd have to do is delay the morning sacrifice. So it's not quite the same thing as saying that they were mevatelet in the usual sense of the word, like it didn't happen at all, but just that it got delayed from its usual time. Okay, we continue on. Tanya Nami Hachi, we have a Braita, which is a rabbinic source that's similar to a Mishnah, and it supports the statement that we've been saying so far. Tanya, the Braisa, Nami, also, Hachi, is like this. Kohanim bavudatan, Kohanim in their labor, Ulevim beduchanan, and Levim singing, v'Yisrael b'ma'amadan, and Israelites helping out. Kulan mevatlin avudatan ubayin lishma mikra Megillah. Mikan, from here, samchu shel Beit Rabbi, based on this principle and on these sources, the house of Rebbe relied on it. Shemavatlin Talmud Torah ubayin lishma mikra Megillah. So they relied on this to say that they would cancel Torah learning in order to go hear Mikra Megillah. So up until now, the source was that they would be mevatel the avoda of the Beit HaMikdash, and Rebbe inferred from here that it was okay also to be mevatel Talmud Torah. Kal v'chomer me'avoda. He learns it as a kal v'chomer. A kal v'chomer is what we call an a fortiori argument, or a light to heavy. In other words, if 20 pounds breaks the scale, then for sure 40 pounds will break the scale. That's how a kal v'chomer means, and that's literally what it means. Kal, light, v'chomer, and heavy. So you're making an argument from a weaker case to a stronger case. In this case, the weaker case is the avodah, the service in the Beit HaMikdash. In this case, the weaker case is Talmud Torah. Uma avodah shehi chamura. Serving in the Beit HaMikdash is a more stringent thing than learning Torah. Mivatlin in Talmud Torah lo kol shekein. So then, of course, we would suspend the learning of Torah. In other words, if serving in the temple is more important than learning Torah, then once I know that you can suspend the temple service in order to go hear the Megillah, then for sure, kal v'chomer, I can also suspend learning Torah. Now this is going to start a long conversation in the Gemara about whether or not this is true. What are the priorities? Which things are more important than other things? And we're going to have a wide-ranging discussion over the next Amud about this. So the first salvo in this conversation is attacking the premise of the house of Rebbe. Va'avodah chamura mitalmud Torah. Is it true that the avodah of the Beit HaMikdash is more serious, more weighty than the learning of Torah? The Hakativ. Do we not have a source that will prove the opposite? And here the source is from the book of Yehoshua. Right before Yehoshua is about to conquer Jericho with the troops of Israelites, it says, "Vayhi biot Yehoshua b'Yericho." When Yehoshua was in Yericho, he was right outside Yericho. "Vayisahina vayar," and he lifted up his eyes and he saw. "Vine ish omed lenegdo." He encountered a person standing in front of him. This person was not really a person; it was an angel, and he bowed before him. "Vayishtachavu." And then he has a conversation with this angel, preparatory to attacking Yericho, and the angel tells him what he has to do in order to defeat Yericho. Okay, so the Gemara wants to know how he could have done this. V'hechi avid hachi. How would he do this? Rashi thinks the problem is that he bowed to him. He shouldn't have bowed to him. But the Gemara then goes on and says, V'hamar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Didn't Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi say, Asur la'adam sheyitein shalom l'chavero ba'layla? It is forbidden for a person to greet a person at night. Chayshinan shema shedhu, because perhaps he is an evil spirit. Now, it's hard to understand exactly what's going on here, but Tosfot, as an example, says very clearly, he says, Piresh Riva, the Riva says, Davka chutz la'ir, hecha d'shchichi mazikin. This is only in a place that's far away from civilization, where it's a dangerous place. You don't think people that you know are going to be there, and it's a place that is like kind of haunted. So it doesn't apply everywhere, but presumably Yehoshua was walking in an isolated place all by himself, and suddenly a man appears, and instead of going to greet this man, he should have stayed away from him in case this man was not an angel but actually a demon. Shaini hatam. No, that case is different. De Amar Le, because one of the things that the man says to him is, Ki ani sar tzva Hashem, I am an angel of God. I am a prince of the army of Hashem. Well, v'dilma mishakri, maybe he was a demon and he was lying and saying he was in the army of Hashem. Gemiri, we have a tradition. Gemiri means it's an oral tradition that's passed down. Delo mafki shem shamayim levatala, that demons will not mention the name of heaven for no reason. Or perhaps it means that demons don't like to utter the name of Hashem. So if he was a demon, he wouldn't have said Hashem's name. Fine. Anyway, this aimed. None of this is actually relevant to our point yet. It's just an interesting story. We're getting there, though. Amar lo, the angel says to Yehoshua, Emesh. Now this part is not in the story that's written in Yehoshua. Up until now, most of the story is written in Yehoshua. He encounters this man and he greets him, and the man says, I am an angel of Hashem. But now this part is not in the Nach. This is the part that is the Midrash. Emesh, he says, last night, bitaltem tamid shel ben harbayim. You nullified the sacrifice that you were supposed to bring at Mincha. The second half of the regular tamid offering was supposed to be brought in the afternoon, and you didn't do it. Now they had reasons for not doing it, but in this case, it really means they didn't offer the sacrifice. So that's upsetting to the angel that they didn't offer the daily sacrifice. V'achshav, and now today, bitaltem Talmud Torah. You are not learning Torah. In other words, Yoshua is walking around at night thinking about how he's going to conquer Yericho instead of sitting in the Beit Midrash and learning Torah. Amar lo, so Yoshua replies to the angel, al eza mehen bata, which of these sins or which of these failures are you coming to me about? Is it because I created a situation where we couldn't offer the karban last night, or because I'm not learning Torah right now? Amar lo, he says to him, ata bati, now I came. In other words, it's the second sin that really upsets me, the sin of not learning Talmud Torah. The whole reason that the Gemara brings this is to show that the angel was more upset about the lack of Torah learning than he was about the lack of the sacrifice. In other words, Torah learning is more serious than the avoda of the Beit HaMikdash. That's what he's arguing. Now, what does Yoshua do? Miyad, immediately, vayalen Yoshua balayla hu betocha emek. And Yoshua spent that night inside of the valley. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, and now we flip to the next side of the page. We're on Daf Gimel Amud Bet. Milame Shalan Ba'umka Shel Halacha. Not that he spent the night in the valley, but instead that he did a deep dive into the halacha. He went and studied and really got into his Torah learning as a response to what the angel had said. There is a problem here, which is that the psukim don't add up. This pasuk. We know that the conversation here that was happening was the night before they conquered Yericho. But the night that Yoshua spent in the valley was the night before they conquered the city of Ai, which happens later in the Yoshua story. So as Rashi explains, it might mean that Yoshua was guilty of not learning Torah that night, but he took a lesson from the angel so that the next night before he was going to conquer a city, instead of wandering around outside the city, he went and deeply learned Torah to show that he had learned his lesson from the previous experience. Now that we've completed the first Amud of Daf Gimel, we're going to stop here, even though the conversation will continue in our next podcast. Have a great day.